All right, guys, this is the first initial podcast of the Harvest House International Church. Today we're going to talk about redemption, and I'm going to ask you guys to go with me to Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 34. And it says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith should not fail. When you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me." Now, I think it's a little odd to use this one for redemption, but as I began to study it and stuff, I began to notice things. And after Jesus, when he was receiving his disciples, when he was going out and finding people to follow him, he gave specific disciples new names, because new names gave them a new meaning to what they would be in his church and after they began to follow him. And when he met Peter, his name was Simon Bar-Jonah. And the name Simon, when you look in Hebrew, it comes from the word that means to easily sway. And he changed his name to Peter, which comes from the Greek word of Petros, which means to be a rock. So he's talking to somebody that he had planned to have as a rock in his church, but instead of calling him Peter, here in the Last Supper, he reflects back to him as Simon. So I think in this point, it's kind of an allusion that God's saying here, that even though I may have called you out and I may have given you a new name, that doesn't mean that your old ways and your old habits are all the way gone. They can still fester back up, and that's something that everybody faces. Even Peter, this great man in the Bible. And Jesus recants back to that old name and says that Satan has asked for you, and that he may sift you as wheat. And that means, if you go back in like the Old Testament, as far as I can take it, that when he sifts him as wheat, it means he's going to try him, and he's going to grind him out. He's going to try everything he can to get this man to do things like he did to Job. Because they've already had one guy defeat Satan as he came against him. Job didn't deny him, didn't deny Christ, or didn't deny God at all, wouldn't curse God at all. And now Satan desires another chance. And then he says, but this is what I've never realized this before. And then Jesus says to Simon, or Peter, he says, "But I pray for you that your faith would not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." And what gets me there is that Jesus knows that Peter's going to deny him. He knows that that's going to happen, and that's a process for Peter to become what he needs to be. Because he's still referring to him as Simon, but he says here that he prays that his faith will not fail. And then carrying on, "And when you have returned to me," so he knows there is going to be a point. He knows there is going to be a point of coming back. So he says, "When you have returned to me, you'll strengthen your brethren." And then, of course, when Peter gets his chance to talk, he goes into that all out, what a man would say. He says, "No, I'm ready to follow you to death right now. I'm sold out." And then Jesus tells him, "Oh man, listen, this is what's going to happen. You're going to deny me. You're going to forget about what I have to say. You're going to flat out disown me." And following that story, and then I'll let you guys say something. Following that story, later on, you go out to find that when Mark gives his recount of this, before it was translated, it says that when Peter denied them in front of the fire, he didn't just outright deny Jesus. He said anathema. And anathema in the Greek or Hebrew, anathema, what it was a curse. And basically what he said, "If I knew this man and I tell you not, if I knew this man and I'm lying to you right now, let God above strike me dead." And then we've talked in these men's meetings and stuff before about when in the Old Testament, or in the New Testament even to die didn't necessarily mean that you were without life. It just means that you were without the light. You were without that presence. And we see that happen to Peter right after this. So he commits this great curse upon himself. that you cannot return. And in Jewish custom, the only person that could remove an anathema from you or a curse like that is if you went to the high priest, your high priest. And Peter's high priest had just died. So, in this story here, what I see is Jesus says that there's going to be a testing after I'm gone. And you're going to recant back to your old ways at times. But don't be afraid, because when you come back to me, there's a place for you. No matter how far you go, no matter how far you go away, no matter how far you curse yourself, no matter how far you take it, I've given you a path to come back. And it only comes, even because I think we do those things and all the time. We'll say, oh, if this is wrong or something, then, or people say, like, oh, I'll pray about it later or something. But God's saying you have to come back to your high priest, which is Jesus. It's who we choose to celebrate with. And he's putting here that there's always that path to come back. And that's what I think. What do you guys say? What do you have to say on Bub?
In verse 34, where it says, Peter, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And what I get out of that verse is, what God is telling Peter is that he already knows what's going to happen. And like in our lives, he knows our tomorrow. He knew our yesterday. He knows everything. And he knew that Peter was going to do this and deny him. And even though, I don't know, I feel like that,
you'll
always have a place that God will bring you to a point in your life where it's either him or nothing else.
So. Best Jimmy, you got anything you want to bring up?
Yeah, just something real short to the point. Imagine you go to a parade and you're standing down on the street. You can see a little bit of what's coming, and you can see some of what's gone. But imagine now you go up to a high building that's watching over the same parade. You're going to be able to see mainly the beginning of the parade from the end of the parade. I think our view on life is just like us standing on the street. We're able to see a little bit of what's coming and maybe a whole lot more of what's already gone. But God sees the beginning from the end. So the fact that Jesus already knew without a doubt, like Elijah was saying, that Peter was going to deny him. I think in Peter's flesh and in his mind, he truly meant what he said. I'm ready to go with you even to death. But yet, Christ looks so much deeper into our heart and realizes that we still have that nature of, that fleshly sin nature, that when you give us the right place at the right time, we will probably do the wrong thing. But since Christ already saw this coming, he had already made provision for restoration. I wanted to just take a second to read the definition of redemption. The definition of redemption is the action of saving or being saved from sin, error, or evil. So anybody that's a Christian has been redeemed from sin. We that are living for Christ have to still daily be redeemed from the error of our ways. And also, as you pointed out, that Satan had to ask permission to sift him like wheat. And I'll just throw this one little tidbit in here. When they would sift wheat, they would literally get up on top of a house after they had chopped the wheat. They'd get up on top of the house where they had a good wind, and then they would take the wheat with a fork and fling it up into the air and let it fall. Fling it up, let it fall. The whole idea was that the wind would carry off the lighter chaff and that the wheat would fall to the ground. Usually that's Christ's job to do that, but Satan says, let me have a shot at it. Let me throw him around for a while. But I love what Jesus said, but I've already prayed for you. In other words, I've told the devil no. So I thank God that no matter what's coming our way in this parade of life, that Christ already sees where we're going to be happy and where we're going to be sad and where we're going to fail completely. But I think this is critical. Peter had a choice to be redeemed. We have a choice to be redeemed from the error of our ways and the evil that was wants to come after us. We have to make the choice. It has to be a daily choice. That's where Paul said, I die daily. Jesus even said, take up your cross and follow me. How often? Daily. So.
All right, and we want to invite anybody that's listening or that hears this, if you don't know Christ or if you feel like you've fallen away, we want to let you know that Jesus hasn't forgotten you and there is a plan and a path to come back. And if you don't have a home church or anything, you feel welcome to join us here at Harvest House. And Pastor Jim, you want to give them our address?
It is 10089 North Kitchen Road, Mooresville, Indiana. That's just right between Mooresville and Waverly. And it's just right by the fire station. Our services are 10:45 Sunday morning and 6:45 Wednesday evening.
All right, everybody, be blessed in Jesus' name.
Amen.